So I want to talk a little bit about the concept of tefillah. But I want to start with reading this piece. This piece is a letter written, I don't even know how to pronounce his name. He wrote a sefer on Kedushin. I don't remember exactly why or how, but I remember about 20 years ago, he visited the yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, Chofetz Chaim in Eretz Yisrael. Maybe it was more than 20 years ago. I don't remember. I remember he gave the sefer to the yeshiva, which is where I saw this in it, because it was in that sefer. And anyway, he was a very, very close Talmud of this Stipler. And he was a member of the Kodo. There's a Kodo Chazonish in Bnei Brak. He was a member of that Kodo. And then later, he became a Rosh Yeshiva of the Yeshiva in Be'er Sheva. I assume later, I don't know what happened later, maybe it closed, I don't know. I think at that time, he really was not the Rosh Yeshiva, the Yeshiva was closed probably. I don't know. But a pretty kosher person. So let's read. He's writing a letter to a certain Talmud who apparently needs chizik. So I'm starting from the first paragraph, Umashe Kosavta. Umashe Kosavta. So we want to talk, B'inyan Atfira, Sha'ata Mispado the Siata Dishmaya. Now there's a person, right, this is a letter a Talmud wrote him, which was basically complaining. So one of the things that he's complaining about, that he davens, and nothing happens. He davens for siyata d'shmaya, for learning, and it doesn't go. He's not getting any response. So dalecho, so you should know, sheshum tefillah kavana ein holechas ibud. There is no such thing as a tefillah with kavana that is wasted. Does not necessarily mean you get everything that you daven for. The Gemara says that you might only get half. Or it says very often you only get half. So if you can only get half, that means that somehow Hashem has to be, I don't want to say creative, but give certain things. How do you get half of something? Either it's all or nothing, certain things. But Torah says in Lumdus you can get half. So, but there's no such thing as a tefillah b'kavon that goes to Ibud. I am a sefer HaKadosh Chai Odom. Who wrote the Chai Odom? Stipler. Okay. Barichas. Right. Ubetoch advarim kosei b'zal lashon. So the Stipler writes as follows. V'ikar mashen nidmelo she'en onen tefillah. So you think, this is a Stipler writing now. You davened and you think you didn't get an answer. Rabbi just bowed says, "Man, Rabbi, you have a plea. I davened so much time. How is it I didn't get answered? Ain't no knock on cloud. It's not right at all." There's no way to know that you weren't answered, because maybe if you didn't daven, the situation would be much worse. Right? Simple example in this week's parsha. It said that Aaron had two sons who died, this week's parsha. Why? Well, there's a medrash, and why did they die? There's a medrash, a different pshatim, but there is a medrash based on Pasuk and Dvarim, that part of the reason they died is because it was a punishment for Aaron, it was a punishment for the sons, but also a punishment for Aaron, that he did the chet ego. And Rashi says the Farish that he was supposed to really have all four sons die. And because Moshe was mispado for him, So he got saved 50%. So on one hand, it's terrible. The other hand, it could have been much worse. So you don't know. The person gets a terrible tragedy. But, the guy got into a car accident and now he has to be in the hospital for 6 months. It's terrible. But it could be, so I don't understand. I said tefillah sederech. How is it possible? I had kavanah when I said tefillah sederech. How is it possible I got into such an accident? Well, maybe if you didn't say tefillah sederech, you would have been you wouldn't be in the hospital. You'd be dead. So the tefillah sederech saved you from you know, we don't know. There's no way of knowing. That's what he's saying. The Stiper says, person, if you have bitachin, muna, Chazal say that a guarantee that tefillah bekavana helps. She says, how can it help? I don't see. Teretz's simple answer is, it would have been worse. Right? There's also another answer, which I know he doesn't bring here. The Stiper says that we are very, very short-sighted. We're very, very impatient. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not bother by a year or two. Time is not really in Hashem's mind. And there are many times that he brings a medrash, says there are certain fetus, the medrash brings that Avram Avinu davened to have a child. He didn't just daven when he was older, he davened his whole life. He says he didn't get a child until when he was 100. He probably started davening when he was 20. Hashem accepted his fetus, gave him a child, made a nes. But he waited to his 100. Why did he wait to 100? So there's all kinds of mafarshim that he had to wait till he had the bris milah, and he had to wait till a certain age to get the bris milah, whatever it is, because the whole idea of having, it wasn't just time to have a child, but he wanted to have a pure child. You know, Yishmael, okay, had Yishmael too, but you know, the idea of having a Yitzchak, so it had to be, he had to wait till he had 100 to get a Yitzchak. Otherwise, if he would have had the child from Sarah when he was 50, it wouldn't have been a Yitzchak. So the Medrash says this, and Hashem accepted Avram's Sfira, but you know, I'll give it to you at the right time. Don't nudge me. You know, I know when the right time is. Right, Rav Brook told me that he said this to a group of survivors after the Holocaust, from survivors from the yeshiva, from Bialystok, the Navardic yeshiva. That we say in the Shabbos davening, "Ene Hashem al Yireyav, lemiachlim lechazdo, lahatzim imoves nafsham." So he says, "What does it mean, lahatzim imoves nafsham?" That's it. Hashem is Ene Hashem el chasidav. Wow, that's pretty good. What does he do? He saves them from starving to death. You know, you don't have to give too much food to save a guy from starving to death. You would think, Ene Hashem el Yireyav, he gives them $1 million. He gives them good. What's Ene Hashem el Chasidus? Lahatzim Mimavas Nafshan Achayosim Berav, right? I think so. So they feed them in the hunger. So he said that when they were in yeshiva together in Bialystok, he says the guys were very, very poor. There were guys in yeshiva that didn't have shoes. There were times that they had no meals in the yeshiva. On the other hand, there were certain, so to speak, playboys, rich guys in the city, who were a bunch of bums that would sit and gamble, and they were living it up. So we couldn't understand. Here we're tzaddikim, so to speak, and we have it, you know, sometimes we don't even have food for meals. And these guys, they're a bunch of bums, and they have it easy. This is what happened. Came World War II. And apparently, I don't know my history exactly, but apparently a whole group of the people from the city ran away or were shipped by the Russians together into Siberia. A whole group of the city. The yeshiva guys and some of these bums. And he says the bums, they starved to death in Siberia. And the yeshiva guys miraculously survived. So he says, what happened? We had a certain amount of bracha. He says, so to the bums, he says, you want to use it up now? Use it up now. Enjoy it. You won't have it later. But like a good parent, if he cares about his kids and the mother, your grandmother gives you $10 for your birthday and you want to go waste it on candy, your parents say, no, put it in the bank. So Hashem didn't let us waste our bracha. He saved it from when we got to Siberia. That was what our book said. Anyway, he said, so there's such a thing. That's one of the snipers. Says 2 points over there. I looked it up. One is, that you think Hashem didn't listen, it could have been much worse. So for all you know, Hashem did listen right now. And two, maybe now is not the right time. Hashem is going to give it to you, but he'll give it to you at the right time. The right time might be 20 years from now. The right time might be 50 years from now. The right time might be, you know, you don't know. You don't want to, you know, you have a schus, you have a schus, but Who says that now is the right time? Just because you think now is the right time doesn't mean that that's the right time to get it. Okay. Right? Everyone likes a story. He says, I will tell you an amazing story. The Kiddush Yaakov is who? He's saying, not a name, just type of B'yoisi b'artes habris b'munsi. Right, I was in Munsi. Eitzel Yedidi Rav Yaakov Greenwald. Anyone know who that is? I happen to know who he was. Rav Greenwald happened to have a camp in the mountains called Korina, which goes back a long time ago. I don't think it exists for a long time. I actually went to his camp, Korina. He was a psychologist, a very frum psychologist, you know, big beard. He had a kolo in Munsi. But he was also a psychologist by trade. And he also ran a camp. So he was very close to the Steiper. He was known to be very close. I got for a Gemara award in camp a Kiddush Yaakov on Kedushin that said on it, it was printed by Rabbi Greenwald, by the a thank you from the Steiper to Rabbi Greenwald. Anyway. So he was close to the Steiper. So it says, Bisman Shah going outside the Rav Shneur Kotler. Rav Shneur Kotler was Rosh Yeshiva Lakewood. He was very sick. He was sick for a number of years. And at the end, he got very sick. So Bo Rav Greenwald, Vol Kama, Miartis Abris, Bimiyucha, the Moran, as Steiper, the Haskar, so she herbits Fiabrit Fuasso. In other words, when Rav Shneur Kotler's condition got much worse, so a delegation of Rabbanim flew special to Eretz Yisrael to go to the Stipler to ask him to daven. Since Rav Greenwald was very close to the Stipler, so he went with him. V'sipralo, and they told the Stipler, Shebechova oilam ha'yeshivas, right? Lakewood is the largest yeshiva in the world, I think. So therefore, they had talmidim all over the world. So all over the world, they're davening for Rav Shneur Kotler. Shebechol Oiram, the whole world, the yeshivas, the bekoidim, marbim mitzvina bavuro. You know, here, how could it? You know, how can it be nifter? The whole world's davening for him. Vizalia and Maiso, they were talking to the Steiper. It was a few days before Rav Shneur passed away. Onalem v'amar beremes. So the Steiper basically implied, didn't say right out, shegias mavigzer. You know, the Maiso. You know, sometimes a person dies. That's Xera. But you say, what about all the tefillahs? So the Steiper said, V'chol ha'tefillahs she'hispalelu, all the tefillahs that they davened in the past, u'mispalem avuro, and they will continue to daven, lo yerech v'ibud klal. They will not go to waste. V'yishara d'tzchuso, they will help Rav Shneur Kotler. Either they'll help him in this world, he'll live a little longer, he'll have less yisurim, right? Something will help him some way in this world. Or, right? He can help him in Olam Haba too. A person needs tremendous chusim in Olam Haba. We believe there's dinim, there's severe einshim and great chusim, and there's opportunities. So tefillahs that were said for person's benefit, if it helps them to have a better din in Olam Haba, that's amazing. So the tefillah, if it couldn't help them for Olam Haza, even though when you davened, you might have meant for Olam Haza. As we said, Hashem doesn't necessarily take the tefillah exactly what you... Your basic purpose was you wanted to help Rav Shneur Kotler. So the best way, if Hashem says we can't help him to live longer, because that's the gzeira, you want to help him, you'll help him in Olam Haba. Imlo begilgo zebegilgo acher. Maybe he'll have a Gilgal, right? There is. So help him in the next Gilgal. Imlo avur, always avur ben avnichtav. Sometimes he'll help his children, and sometimes he'll help his grandchildren. I assume this he doesn't say, but I think shot is that it all depends why you're davening. If you're davening because you care about Rav Shneur, so then he'll go to help Rav Shneur. If you're davening because you feel, oyvei, the poor children, they're going to be yisayimim, so the tefillahs will help the children, right? If you're davening because you're a Talmud Rav Shneur and you're davening for yourself that you want to have a Rebbe, so so the tzitzis would go for you. You have a bet, you know, there can be substitutions in many ways. The children can have a substitution of someone else who will somewhat, obviously not the same, take the place of the father. A person can have a person who will take the place of a rebbe, right? So the tefillahs work part way in different areas. Okay. No tefillah is wasted. And once the stiper said to me, sometimes we have a pliatsuma. You find a simple home, and there's zeichet to have a child who's a tremendous talmid chacham and tzaddik. And I think I once saw this quoted somewhere else. And the question, and he's asking, like, how could that be? But that's not such a kasha. But his kasha, I think, there was that sometimes it didn't just happen by itself. There seemed to be special siyata d'shmaya that child had to become a talmid chacham and tzaddik. Like sometimes, for example, you meet a person who, when they became a Baal Tshuva, and you ask the person, how did they become a Baal Tshuva? And they'll tell you some amazing story. You know, some people become Baal Tshuva, they don't have some amazing story. But there are many Baal Tshuvas that have wildest stories in the world. You know, I fell off a cliff and the miracle happened and a bird came and, you know, I don't know, whatever it is. But they have these wild stories. And then they became a tzaddik. So, you know, so the question is, why was this guy zoiche to such a miraculous thing? That's this guy. How did a guy, here he's kind of, now he's a tzaddik, I can understand. But why did that miraculous event come about to help him become a tzaddik? Why did he deserve it? So that's his kasha. So this diaper said his vados. Zebiglau Shay the Sabda Shara, one of his grandparents, great grandparents, Aza means one of grandparents, great grandparents, great great grandparents. Zoksa Liba Pashaka Liba Bitfila, she davened with the most with tears. Shizgeta Bottom Tami Dechom, right? Women benched Rav for the children when they bench left. Vize Ozer the Nechim no the bottom. In other words, what she really meant is that her children should be Talmid Yachamim. But let's say the children have Bechira Chavshas, and the children decide they want to go off the Derech. Right? They could. I, the mother, daven that the kids should be Talmid Yachamim. Yeah, but the Hashem has to give the kids Bechira Chavshas. So the kids had Bechira Chavshas, and they became non-frum. But the tefillah is still there. So the tefillah has to help for the grandchildren. And if the grandchildren don't want to become frum, it'll help for the great-grandchildren. So that the great-grandchild will be on a trip and his car will go off a cliff and something will happen to inspire him to do tshuva. And if he doesn't do it, then his kid will go off the cliff, right? Until, basically, the tefillah will be mekuyim, because the grandmother's tefillah has to be mekuyim. It's not necessarily mekuyim the way the grandmother meant, because she didn't mean the great-grandchild, she meant her son. But it's partial, whatever. Those people who never met the grandchildren, right? These people who live a short life, they know how much this mother daven that her kids should be from, and then they meet her kids and they're all a bunch of bums. From a short-sightedness of life, they think, look at that amazing thing. I remember this lady, she used to come to shul, she used to cry, she used to say to him that her kids are from, and look at that, all her kids are not from, all her tefillahs were wasted. But in reality, it's not true. In reality, the tefillahs are up in Shemayim, they're just waiting for the opportunity of Kiyum. That's what the stiper said. Okay. But the vaya shomara stiper, right? After the vaya of the stiper, the beis achayim, that means in the beis akvaras, in the cemetery. I was together with Rav Chaim Kanevsky, right? Shlito. Shegiat if they meet, he was walking in front of the bed. Amartilo, right? Obviously, He must have been very close because he was talking to Rav Chaim Kineski and his father's Levaya. Kol gach arbe tfidas is bado. B'chol ha'idam. The whole world daven for a stipler. U'b'chiyat atzumis b'zman ma'achlosom. People were crying. B'lozuchino. You know, didn't help. So onani, so this Rav Chaim Kineski said the same thing. Ha'tfidas lo hocho li'ibun. Tfidas never go to waste. Maybe, I mean, we don't know. It says there was some gzeira in Klal Yisrael that they were mevato. Bekitzer, ain't on a yodim echsh tefilah mueso masa. We don't know how a tefilah helps and when. Well, ain't a lasso chasena. We have to do our chiyuv. Shetiu amenim etoris tefilah smalo talmid siyata shmaya. Okay, that's basic. I think it's a very inspiring piece. I happen to like this piece. Okay, anyway, so now we have to start the musarvat. So the Shaida is like this. If a person wants to get that his fetus, we believe that if a person davens properly, it's guaranteed that his fetus will be accepted. Again, we don't know when it'll be accepted. We don't know how it'll be accepted. It might be accepted in a little bit of a different way than you daven for, because maybe you're asking for something that can't be gotten, like his example with Rav Shneur, there was a gzeira. Maybe you're asking for something that's not good, so Hashem doesn't want to give it because it's not good. So maybe you're asking for something which you don't have enough schusim for, so Hashem can't give you that because you don't. That tefillah is not strong enough for that, but it can give you only partial. But there's a guarantee that a proper tefillah gets something. So how do you get a tefillah to be proper? So the first most basic thing is, we know it's no chiddush, but just to run through, is kavana. Kavana doesn't just mean to know what the words mean. Kavana means to really, really, really feel it, right? You know, I don't say crying when you're davening, but you know, depths of your soul. Doesn't have to. You don't have to show it, but you have to feel it. The ma'isa, very, 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 very. If you don't want to be say. But it seems that very, very, very few people actually daven with real kavana. You know, even people that daven slow shmona esrays, they have a little bit of kavana, which is a little bit better than nothing. But the really kavana that they're so totally focused and with depth and feelings, and you know, they're really, it's you don't see it so often. The ma'isa. There are people in the world that have tremendous kavana. And that's what we have to try and reach. One of the things I'm hoping, that Ezer Hashem, you know, we're having this trip to Eretz Yisrael, one of the things we try, well, hopefully try to do is to learn a little bit more how to have kavana. How do you learn more? First of all, what we did in the past times is we went to the Kulto, and what we didn't just stop go to the Kulto. We went to the Kulto and we told everyone that we're going to be spending, I mean, pick a random amount of time, 20 minutes for Shmona Esrei. So there's no point in rushing because you're not going to, the chazan ain't starting for 20 minutes, half hour, whatever it is, I don't know. So, and we basically worked on that we should try and once in your life to say a Shmona Esrei from the beginning to end with Kavana for every word. And a lot of guys, you know, were able to do it. And, you know, especially some people used to go, you know, they, you know, you can try to do that. You know, we have, you know, it depends also what time you go to the Kulto. There are some times that are more emotional than others. You go at night, you know. And then guys, you go more than once, and you go, you know, and you go a few times. You get into a habit of, you know, getting, because the Kulto is much easier. Especially if you're at the right time, it's much easier to get kavana. Also, I would like, if it's possible, to get some of these people who have tremendous kavana, either to get them to speak to the guys, or even if just we could see them davening, you know, you could see them. That last time I was in Israel, I was there for my father's tira, so there was a, I went to some, whatever, there was a shloshim for Rav Kaduri. Not the famous Rav Kaduri, Rav David Rav Kaduri's son was Nifter. And they had, after the show, I went there. I had nothing to do in Israel. I had a shloshim. I went, So they had a person davening who was a mekubo, you know. And I never saw a davening like that in my life. The guy, you know, he was davening for the yom. It was mincha. He did chazaras hashatz. It was very, very inspiring. Anyway, so if we could somehow get a hold, you know, get to where these people daven, there's other people. There's a number, you know. There's that would be very. So the first thing to get tzvidus to be accepted is to learn how to daven kavana. Most people in the world, they never even saw what it means to daven kavana. I don't even know what it means. Okay. The second thing that helps is there's a concept that says by Vezchanan that Moshe Rabbeinu davened how many times? How much? I don't know. I can't add it. It's from the Gematria of Vezchanan. So it's 515? Sounds right. 515 sounds right. I think so. Vezchanan. Okay. Yeah, 515 sounds right. So that was... He davened 515. Now, why do you have to daven so many times? Moshe didn't daven with Kavana. But it seems, and the Gemara says this, that especially it makes sense if we believe that a tefillah guaranteed works, but it doesn't necessarily work 100%. So like I give this mashal in Musar, when you're trying to knock down the walls of the city, so you take the battering ram, and you go running against the walls of the city and you smash the battering ram against the wall. So what happens? Basically, nothing. The wall's still there. It's not a most enjoyable thing to run full speed into a wall and smash into a wall. They pour boiling hot oil on your head. So what does the officer say? Let's do it again. If I was a soldier, I'd say, you're nuts. Right, like Palkin always has this line, right? What's right, Palkin line? That the definition of insanity, right? Yes, if you do something that doesn't succeed and you do it again, that's insanity. Right? That's right, Palkin. Palkin's favorite lines. He always says at graduation. Now, anyone's graduation here? About how people in education, they do the same things over and over and it doesn't work. That's one of his favorite lines. So why in the world are you taking the battery ram and you're smashing into the walls of the city again? Right? Tarot says, that's only if it didn't work. But it did work. Except that it didn't work enough that the wall's still standing, but it weakened the wall. So you got to do it over again. So that's what we believe with Moshe. Moshe davened. Each tefillah weakened. But it wasn't enough. Because the Pasuk says, it's right, because Rashi, I think, that had Moshe davened one more time, Hashem would have had to agree. But Hashem told him, that's why Hashem told him, stop davening, because it's not good for Klal Yisrael if you go into Eretz Yisrael, so you should stop davening. But if he would have davened, we said 515 times. If he would have davened 516 times, he would have gotten it. So there is a thing, the more you daven, in other words, even if you have tremendous kavana, there's an inyan of davening over and over again. It's one of the hardest things people have. I daven shacharit, have to daven again mincha, ma'ariv, again, the same thing. Because sometimes you're davening for something which is not so simple, and you need to daven over and over again. Right? That's the way it is. Okay. Another thing you need in tefillah is you need to do the halachas correctly, right? Obviously, there's a person has to daven in the right zman. You have to daven the right nusach. You know, you're supposed to say psukei dezimra. Some people like to skip psukei dezimra. You know, you're supposed to daven with a hat and jacket. You're supposed to have your hands clean, right? It doesn't mean, I'm not saying that if you don't have that, the guy davens in shorts, his feet is worthless. I didn't say that. But it's not the same. Tefillah, when you do it with the halachas, is a better tefillah. So you have to know your hilchos tefillahs and do it, daven with a minyan. Right? Obviously, davening with a minyan is better than davening b'yachidus. That's what it says. You daven a minyan. And if you daven, if you're the first tent for the minyan, it's even better, right? I don't know about that as far as the tefillah is being mekabel. That's as far as the schutz. But okay. But in Maisa, there is a, you know, tefillahs are definitely more mekubal when you do it right. Chazal say this is a nefesh achayim, that tefillahs were misakim by Nevi'im. They knew how to do it. We don't really know what we're doing, but the Nevi'im knew how the proper way of breaking through the gates of Shemayim, and we just have to follow their, you know, it's like a doctor gives you a prescription, and you don't know medicine, so you follow the prescription. Okay. Another thing in tefillah, there's a thing, there's a pasuk called Bani tefillasi eis ratzon. Hashem eis ratzon. What does it mean, eis ratzon? That tefillahs are more accepted in eis ratzon. When's an eis ratzon that you people know about? Sarah said true, right? So there are certain days, Yontif, Shabbos, right? There are different days. Sfiras HaOmer, right? It's a special eis ratzon for different things, right? We say in the Ratzon after Sfira, which we don't say in this yeshiva, because I don't know why we don't say it, but that's a minik, so I can't change. Otherwise, they'll call me an apikiris. I'm changing the Sarah of the yeshiva. I would really like to say it because it's such a beautiful Ratzon. You know, you can really have, one of those Ratzon you can have kavana. I mean, you know, after that, it's supposed to be Yatzon, Rebach, what is it? I don't remember how it starts anymore, even. Rebach Shalom. But the yeshiva's minik is they don't say it, so what can I do? But but their sphira is also an eitz ratzon for certain things. Rosh Hashanah is an eitz ratzon. Certain kvarim are, in a sense, an eitz ratzon. The idea of a kever, Father Shem, we hopefully try to get to some kvar in Israel, is that each person has a different kedusha, and because of his kedusha, he is more mesugo in a certain area. So you go to, say, you go to kever Shimon Rabbi Yochai. Not Rosh Rabbi, Yonatan ben Oziel. Kever Yonatan ben Oziel is the most mesugo for Shaduchim. Why is his kever for Shaduchim and someone else not? Because that depends on his particular Kedusha. So it's I don't know what it's called, Ace Ratzon, but it's like it's a Makom Ratzon for Shaduchim. Right? Someone else's kever is a Makom Ratzon for something else. So there's special, it says in the Svarim, that any time you do a mitzvah, it's an eis ratzon. Right? The world has a thing. I don't that if someone embarrasses you and you keep quiet, that's an eis ratzon, and you can give brachas. Right? The world's into that, but it's not exactly right. The point is, any time you do a mitzvah, it's lav dafka that. Any time you do a mitzvah, it's an eis ratzon. The reason why women make a daven for their kids after they bench lech. Because it's considered an eis ratzon, because a woman, they're about to do a mitzvah. So whenever they do a mitzvah, there are people that whenever they finish learning, they say Tehillim, because it's an eis ratzon. You just finished doing a mitzvah. So there's a concept of davening by eis, the right times. Vasikin is an eis ratzon, right? Whatever. Okay. What else? There's an inyan of the Chavetz Chaim is very big in not speaking Lashon Hara, right? The Chavetz Chaim says that when a person speaks Lashon Hara, so it contaminates his mouth. And since his mouth is the vehicle which he davens with, so by speaking Lashon Hara, you are decreasing the power of your tefillah. Now, it does not mean, because otherwise we're just going to all stop davening, that your tefillahs are worthless. Yeshiva has a shmuz, I mean, I'm sure it's a buck in Chedush Yalev, that even a rush's tefillahs we find is very powerful. We find in the Chedush Yalev that when Lavin, that's Lavin is the one who in the Pesach, we say, Arami Oved Avi, Lavin, Bikesh Lavin Esako. It was like the biggest rasha. So when at the end, when they finally part ways at the end of it says that Lavan gave Yaakov a bracha. He gave his daughters a bracha. Not Yaakov, he gave the daughters a bracha. So the Sipurnu there says, why does the Torah mention it? Because since Lavan said this particular bracha with Kavana, because he knew it was the last time he would ever see these daughters, so he says a bracha of Lavan with Kavana is very chashiv, because what's said with Kavana. So even though Lavan is the greatest, probably the biggest Baal Lashon Hara and liar and crook and everyone in the ever world, but his davening with Kavana is a bracha. We also say Anachasana. We say there's a pasuk Achosi Atihi the Alfe Revava. Right, where's that pasuk? Who said that one? What? Also, I think Lavin said that, right? So that, when do we say that that pasuk? Anyone know? You say that at a chasana, at the bedekin, the when the parents or they give a bracha, I think so, and they give a bracha to the kawa. That's the bracha they give. So the bracha that even a rasha gave, when it's done with kavana, has very much power. But lemaisa, it's ain a daime to the bracha of a tzad. One of the reasons why we go to tzaddikim to get a bracha is because of the fact that we believe tzaddikim have a holy mouth. That's a large part of it. There's other reasons too, but tzaddik is Hashem listens to a tzaddik. But it's brought down, one of the main reasons is because they have a kaddish dika mouth. Because they learn a lot of Torah and they don't speak Lashon Hara or other Averis. So there's definitely, the Chofetz Chaim is very big in that, that if you want to upgrade your tefillahs, even though that, it's not a psul otherwise, but it upgrades. And upgrades of your tefillahs is you have to be careful in what you speak. So basically, I don't remember if I said everything, but we'll, so if you want your tefillahs to work, the first and most important thing they talk about is kavana. Second thing is redundancy. You do it, keep on, you know, just you don't just do it once. You do it over and over again. Third, there's not order, but third thing we mentioned is following halacha, right? There's a famous Hasidish story which we do not hold of, right? Famous Hasidish story that there was a tsar in Klal Yisrael. So the Rebbe called everyone should come to the shul, to daven. So everyone comes, and they're davening. And meanwhile, there's this shepherd boy, and it's just on Shabbos, of course, Shabbos. And there's this shepherd boy who doesn't never learned anything, he doesn't know anything. And he hears that the whole kehila is coming to daven. So he comes to shul too, but he doesn't know how to daven. So what does he do? He takes out his whatever, and he starts blowing on his harmonica, right? And everyone goes, it's a gasp. And the Rebbe says, now the tefillahs are mekubo, right? So there is some truth to that. You know, all Klai Yisrael, Aber Lamaisa, we think it would have been better if he would have not blown the oil, right? In other words, you gotta follow halacha. We are very big in halacha. Halacha is, sincerity doesn't take the place of halacha, right? Just like we don't believe in missing Zman Kriya Shma, so you can have more kavana. Maybe it's a machlokes and hashkafas. But the literature world held that it's more important to daven bizman with less kavana than to miss Zman with more kavana, right? That's definitely the literature shita. So we believe very much, it's probably the Shitasa, you know, the same story. So we believe in halacha. So halacha means really got to get up there. You know, many people just not careful with that. Some of the basic halachas of davening. Then we said there's a concept of eis ratzon, which means also with a minyan is more of a ratzon in the right place, in a shul, dress, you know, dress maybe the halachas. You know, but then in the minyan in the right time, after you do a mitzvah, you know, obviously if we can be at the cult, you know, there are certain places that are more, there's more mesugo for tefillahs. And then the last thing we said is not speaking Lashon Hara and having a more kaddish dika pet. There's another thing too, which I just, you know, they say, I forgot to mention, that they say the more a person believes in the kayach tefillah, the more it works. A person doesn't really believe in it, so it doesn't work. If you don't believe it, God listens. So Hashem don't listen. If you believe that Hashem listens, so then Hashem says, "Oh, you're relying on me. You're asking me." So that's part of the. Then that's more likely to work. Okay.